I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Mesut Ozil is in here! Beautiful goal! Walcott! What a goal! It's been flicked in by Alexis Sanchez, a quality goal from the Gunners!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. For Monday, the 10th of October, I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up, we're going to be chatting to the London Evening Standard's James Ollie, who joins us as our Arsenal insider. Lady star Josie Henning talks about winning Olympic gold in Brazil. We're back to the chalkboard as we build up to the game against Swansea with Adrian Clarke. We also kick off with a big interview with in-form young Gunners star Alex Iwobi. Young Alex Iwobi has enjoyed a meteoric rise to the first team in the past 12 months, becoming a key member of Arsene Wenger's side. Alex has been speaking to the Arsenal Weekly podcast about what has been quite a year.
So Alex, it's a new season, you've got a new number. Can you explain why?
I wanted to keep the 45 as it is what I started with the first team, and I enjoyed the number and I started a little trend with that. However, 45 is a youth team number, so I did have to change. And I only had two options, but I heard Alexis was switching numbers, so I thought, well, let me start a new legacy with the number 17.
And last season was your first as part of the first team. So what initiation song did you go for, and tell me what the reaction was
like? Oh, my word. I had to do it twice because the first one was very, very bad. It was against West Brom, the West Brom away, and I froze, absolutely froze. I tried three songs and I forgot them completely. So I ended up singing Happy Birthday to Arsenal on that day, which was so embarrassing. But I had to do it again against Galatasaray in the Champions League away, and I just went for Mario, Just a Friend.
How did that go down?
There was three of us that had to sing that day. I was the worst out of the three. So let's just leave it at that.
So it's obviously a new season for you. You had such a good spell last season, but it's a new season for you. So is it harder because people would expect more from you now?
No, not at all. I'm not really phased by all of that. I've set my targets and goals. I just have to try and prove to everyone that I'm good enough to play in the team.
Do you think the opposition are treating you a bit differently now because you were sort of fresh for them? They didn't know about you. They know about you now. Do you think that's going to make it more difficult for you?
Not at all. I don't really see it like that. I'm sure they look at everyone the same way. They treat every player, every team the same way, a certain way. So, yeah, it's not really.
Could you have ever dreamt it would go quite so well and quite so quickly?
Honestly, no. I didn't expect to be where I am today. I thought time ago I was going to be on loan and probably get experience there before having experience in the first team. But the fact that the boss trusted me to jump into the first team as quick as I did, I'm just grateful for it.
What have been the highlights of the last year for you? There's been quite a few to choose from.
Definitely playing against Barcelona is my favourite. I mean, the best team in the world in my eyes, best players in the world, best player in the world. It was just a crazy feeling, and I performed okay and performed to the best that I could have done. So that was definitely one moment I'll cherish.
The fans seem to really love you because you've sort of come through the academy. Do you feel like you're particularly close to the fans? Do you feel that bond with them?
Especially after games, I'm trying to go home and I'm seeing fans almost breaking my car just to grab a picture. It's just crazy. And yeah, the connection I have with the fans, I mean, I'm young and so most of the fans are young. So it's, yeah, the connection is there.
How much does that mean to you to know? It must help you on the pitch when you feel that love and that support from the fans.
Yeah, it gives you an extra boost, an extra confidence that you feel like you're up for more things and motivated to do well. So when you have the fans on your back, it's such a good feeling.
What's the craziest thing a fan has done to you? Has he messaged you or asked you for pictures? What's the sort of craziest thing that you've done?
There's been a lot of crazy things. I remember the last home game we played, I was driving for like 15 minutes, bearing in mind, I know there's a lot of traffic, but you do weave in and out, and for 15 minutes there was one fan following me, and I was getting a bit scared because I was getting close to my destination. I was thinking, I'm going to have to do a detour just to get to the destination before he ends up finding out where I'm going. And yeah, that was a bit mad. And yeah, there's been times I go back to my old area and the people tend me to sign their hands. I will never understand signing your hand because you're always going to wash it. So I'm thinking, when people ask me for that, I'm like, are you sure you're going to end up washing it? Like, no, please, I'll just do it. But yeah, I find that funny and mad.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm pleased to say that our Arsenal insider this week is none other than the London Evening Standard's James Ollie, who joins me now. James, hello, mate. Getting ready for a trip to Slovenia, of course, for England. Should be a good couple of days, hopefully, for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the first proper test, really, under Southgate, isn't it? I think the bulk of the game was very much a played and complete. Performance wasn't the best, but, you know, they got the win. They nearly got it out of the way. And then, as I say, this will be a much tougher test, I think. And we'll kind of learn a little bit more about where England are at.
Be interesting to see, won't it, how one or two of the Arsenal players perform if given their opportunity. The likes of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain talking about being dropped by England and coming back with new volition, same clearly with Theo Walcott as well. Just the kind of guys who hopefully, if they get their chance, will perform.
Yeah, and I think it'll be the kind of game that will probably suit those two a little bit more, particularly Theo, because I think, you know, when you get a side like Malta to defend 5-4-1 on the edge of their own box and don't really show any ambition to get out, it's very difficult for Theo to use his pace in behind. So, you know, that being his principal threat, it's kind of justified a little bit. Slovenia obviously being at home and having a little bit more about them, you expect them to come out and play it. I did cover the qualifier that England played out there when they won 3-2, and Jackal did such a great game that day, scoring twice. And they have got an attacking threat, and they will look to use it, especially at home. So I think it will help England on the counter attack to have that space for Theo's pace. You mentioned Oxlade-Chamberlain there as well. I mean, I actually spoke to him, and he's going in the Standard today. That he's talking about his positional sort of development. You know, Wenger's sort of long earmarked him as being a centre midfielder, but he's never quite consistently been given the opportunity to play there. And if you look at the strength and depth that Arsenal have got now in that position, obviously bringing in Mohamed Elneny and Granit Xhaka in the last 12 months, competition for places is so great that Jackson's set to go out on loan to revive his career. But interestingly, Alex has been playing in a central position in training for England, and they've obviously been looking at him there. I'm not necessarily saying he'll get the chance against Slovenia, but clearly it's something they've got in mind for the future, and it's something that might, I think, help his development, because I think he's best suited to probably playing centrally in a three rather than he is necessarily out wide.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point. And just one more kind of England-related Arsenal question. Probably won't feature, but Kieran Gibbs, I see, has been called up into the squad as cover after Ryan Bertrand picked up an injury during that victory against the Maltese back at the weekend. For Kieran, any opportunity for club or country is gratefully received at the moment, because he's got a very good player in his way in Nacho Monreal when it comes to first team football.
Yeah, he has, but I think there's been sort of signs in the last few weeks that looks kind of rewarded, really. I think Kieran's got his head down and worked as hard as he can and waited for his opening. I thought it was significant that he was made captain in the League Cup tie at Nottingham Forest recently, and he's been getting a few minutes here and there. He's come on as a substitute, and I think that's kind of a sort of nod from Wenger to say, look, you know, I do appreciate that you are putting in the hard yards. But I mean, it's interesting that Kieran was called up, I think, in respect to the fact that England only have one game, and normally they'd think, well, they might be able to get through it without any cover. But I think because Ryan Bertrand's injury, and Danny Rose apparently had a bit of a tight hamstring earlier in the week, which I think is part of the reason why he not necessarily started against Malta. But you never know. If Danny's not up to it, they're training today and there's any kind of issue, then Kieran might get his chance. Or he might, again, get a chance as a substitute if they think that Danny can't last 90 minutes. So with a bit of luck, he'll get some game time. I think he deserves it. So he's been doing everything he can behind the scenes to get back involved again.
Let's move, if we can, then, James, just away from the kind of England setup as we build up toward the return of the Premier League next weekend. We'll talk about the Swansea game in detail a little bit later on in the show when we go to the chalkboard. But Arsenal, 5 straight wins now in all competitions, really are in some very, very good form. And even the games they're not playing so well in, or perhaps struggling to get the results in, they are getting those late wins at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that goal at Burnley was massive, really, just to keep the sort of momentum going. International break. I think what I've been really impressed with most recently is the way that they're pressing the ball from the front, and they're really, you know, it's very much sort of in thing in the Premier League. You've Guardiola coming in, it's obviously his sort of mantra to press high up the pitch and really try and frighten teams, scare them into the back and make sure they can't get out with the ball in advantageous positions as often as you can. And you know, Tottenham are doing that well under Pochettino, and I think that's one of the main reasons why Arsene Wenger switched Alexis to a central position as the main striker. Because I think last season there were criticisms of Olivier Giroud, not just as far as his sort of lack of finishing in front of goal, his inability to be as clinical as we might like him to be, but also the fact that he doesn't always press the ball as ferociously as some of the other strikers in the league, and that's something that Alexis gives you that intensity, really, really leads in the front. And I think the best performances that we've seen from Arsenal this season have really carried that as their central quality, that intense work rate, that real refusal to let a team settle on the ball. And I think that's been really one of the main keys. It's something that Arsene, I think, is referring to when he talks about keeping that humility going forward and you know, understanding the importance of just the fundamental work rate allied to the talent they have. And if they can continue to do that, this run will continue for a while, I think.
Mm. Now, one player who's been in great form for his club this season is Alex Iwobi. We've been hearing from him on the show already, of course, scoring for Nigeria the other night as well. But this kid has just come so far, hasn't he, over the last 12 months, roughly. And hopefully he will continue to press on and get even better because the potential is enormous.
Yeah, it's incredible. When you think that, you know, he made his debut against Sheffield Wednesday in the League Cup last season, and less than 12 months on, he's rested in the League Cup so he can play against Chelsea in the Premier League. I mean, that just sort of shows you inside a year just how far he's come as a player. He did his first big newspaper interview with the Standard actually last month, and it really came across to me how mature he is, how grounded he is. I think he really appreciates, you know, respects how far he's come and how far, of course, he's still got to go. Only 20 years old and got a lot to learn in the game, but I'm really impressed with his maturity and his decision making in the final third. I think is one of the most impressive aspects of his game at the moment. That, you know, that's something you don't necessarily associate with a kid that young. You think you can get yourself into positions and then won't always pick the right ball or try and overplay it or overcomplicate things. But I'm really, really impressed with that about him. And you know, that bodes very well for the future.
Let's just look at 2 more aspects of the Arsenal team across the field to finish, if we can, James, as we kind of take stock during this international break. First of all, that key position of defensive midfield behind the advanced three, behind the front man, if you like. And Granit Xhaka getting increasingly more game time. Santi Cazorla fully fit and firing and dropping back into that position again, where I think he's very comfortable. You talked about the competition for places as well. Elneny, Coquelin, of course, is there, very much there or thereabouts too. It's a very rich area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's quite a removal from recent years when you think that was arguably the greatest vulnerability in Arsenal's team, that they didn't have somebody who could provide that defensive field cover. I think it's interesting that Arsenal talked quite a lot about those two, the two in that 4-2-3-1, playing in pairs and developing an understanding between the two of them. And that's, I think, why he liked Coquelin and Cazorla and why they probably had an extended run when you might have thought, well, why is Granit Xhaka not playing? You spend the 35 million quid and you don't bring him in for the big matches which you think he's been bought to play in. But I think that's kind of probably evolving in his thinking as time goes on, because I think Xhaka's been increasingly impressive. You know, we always habitually talk about foreign players needing 6 months or so to acclimatise, but I think he's kind of shown already in the first 2 or 3 months of the season that he's rapidly learning the English game and you know, he loves to tackle and English fans tend to like players who like to get their foot in. So I think he's become a bit of a cult hero. Scoring, of course, from 30 yards, you know, more than once, doesn't do you any harm on that front either. But no, I've been really impressed with him, and I think he, you know, he alongside Santi, often provides the tempo for the team. He's probably going to emerge, I think, as the first choice pairing. But as you say, there are so many other options to do something. Clearly, Aaron Ramsey's about to, all being well, come back from injury as well. So it's going to be a bit of a headache, but a nice one for us.
Yeah, and then do you put Aaron potentially into that advanced trio? And if you did, who would make way there? Loads of interesting quandaries for Arsene Wenger moving forward, but good problems on the whole. And James, just wanted to finish by mentioning, obviously, the back five. Increasing stability, fingers crossed, and I think Shkodran Mustafi coming in and settling in so quickly and being clearly such a powerful presence and such a talented and talismanic player, looking great and really helping to bring the best out of that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's around him for me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was difficult for him, I think, in a sense that he knew, given the injuries to Gabriel and Per Mertesacker, that he was going to have to come in and hit the ground running. And when you think about how solid that back five looks now compared to the opening day of the season, which is not necessarily a criticism of Rob Holding and Callum Chambers, but just the evolution in the way that the team's organised and resilient at the back, that has a lot to do with Mustafi and the quick understanding that he's developed with Laurent Koscielny, who I think, you know, is still basically one of the best defenders in the league, supremely consistent, and has shown, you know, having had that break post Euro 2016, that he's kind of picked up his game, you know, where he left off. So, and you know, Hector Bellerin, I think for me, he's arguably the best right back in the league at the moment. And Nacho is obviously continuing his form from last season. So individually, they're playing very well. But you're right; it often takes time if you bring in a centre back to develop that understanding. But I think, you know, the fact that he speaks the language well, the fact that he's you know, established international, played Champions League football, I think it sort of helps him to be able to settle in and hit the ground running.
James, Ollie, have a safe flight out to Slovenia. Enjoy the England game, and we look forward to catching up with you anon on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. And as ever, mate, we value your time and thanks for joining us.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 10th of October 1966, Tony Adams was born in Romford in London. He signed for the club as a schoolboy back in 1980 and made his debut aged just 17 in the year 1983. Tony became the club's youngest ever captain at the age of just 21 and would hold that position until he retired. Adams scored 48 times in 669 appearances, including the winner in the 1993 FA Cup semi-final against Tottenham.
Merson takes. Adams! Well, he scored in the quarter-final, and maybe now he's settled the semi-final. We're just inside the last 10 minutes, and Adams got in, Linegan was there as well, and Tottenham had no answer.
Tony finished his glittering Arsenal career with 4 league titles, 3 FA Cups, 2 League Cups and a European Cup Winners' Cup medal to boot, and was immortalised with a statue outside the Emirates Stadium to mark the club's 125th anniversary. Now, the Arsenal ladies star Josie Henning was part of the victorious Germany team that took home Olympic gold at this summer's Games in Brazil. Here's Josie talking about her experiences in Rio.
Well, we were lucky to travel to different cities. I think we watched, or we have seen all of them, actually. And then we had 5 days in the Olympic Village, which was like, yeah, that was the hot sauce on the brownie. That was amazing. To see all the athletes, if that's Usain Bolt or Phelps or, yeah, you just see them and you eat in the same food hall, and that's a nice experience, yeah. I think you, from the first day we were at the camp, at the village, we felt the spirit, but it's more like, for us football women, or the same with the men, they have, they play their tournament in every region of Brazil. And then when they're lucky, they come to the Olympic Village. If they're not, and they won't make it to the final, they're out. So you don't see the village at all. So it's like you belong to every other, to the whole athletes and to the Olympic village, actually to the Olympics. So you feel a little bit more like this when you come to the village, and then it's just like a big push and you want to just win the final.
What was your emotions, what were your feelings when the final whistle went?
We knew we'd come home with a medal, and that can affect you in two ways. Either you're really proud and that's it and you don't have to do anything, or you just say like, oh no, one more step, we want the gold. And I mean, that's unbelievable. Some things you realize that later, like even right now, you sometimes there are people coming up and you don't know them, and they just say, hey, well done, great, you're going to be in history, like remembered for a long time. And you don't realize that because there's never been a women's team in Germany which came so far. And your name is going to be in the books, and that's a nice feeling.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So we're back to the ever popular Chalkboard with, I'd like to say, the ever popular Adrian Clark, who joins us on the line now. Clark, it's an international break, so we'll forgive the fact you're not here in the studio. It is acceptable. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. I am working. I'm at London Colney at the moment. I've just interviewed the academy boss, Andries Jonker, for a breakdown special. So, no rest for me.
Sounding like a good show. Looking forward to listening to that and watching all of your fine work. We'll focus, if we can, first of all, international break. Just tell me, Clarky, what is the best performance you can remember from an Arsenal player or combination of Arsenal players on international duty?
It's a really tough question, I've got to say. There have been so many good performances from Arsenal players on international duty down the year. Looking at the current squad, I've got to say, the one that immediately springs to mind is Theo Walcott. That hat-trick, was it away to Croatia? Mm. I think quite a few years ago now, there were doubts over whether he was good enough for England. He was a young player at the time, and he just scored a stunning hat-trick. It was just brilliant. So that is the one that stands out. You've got Dennis Bergkamp at the 98 World Cup, where he was brilliant. And I must say, could Aaron Ramsey have played any better for Wales at the last Euros? I'm not sure he could have done. That was tremendous from him. So, yeah, we've got a long-standing tradition of top performances with the international teams.
Yeah, but for that ban, who knows whether they could have gone even further. It really did, as you say, make it clear how pivotal he was to that Wales team when he didn't play in that crucial game. I suppose Vieira and Petit, of course, France 98 for France.
They didn't do bad, did they? No. I mean, they were quality players, weren't they? Petit, in particular, was fantastic, wasn't he, in that World Cup final. So yeah, that's probably one I did omit. But, loads to choose from.
OK, so let's start looking ahead then to when the Gunners get back into action next weekend in the Premier League. Swansea City, the opponents, and to put it mildly, Clarkey, it's been a week or two of change in South Wales, hasn't it? Francesco Guidolin out, and in has come the former USA national boss Bob Bradley, bought in by the club's American owners. This is a very, very big, and for some, a controversial call.
Very controversial, because I think the supporters trust own a good percentage of the club and they weren't consulted over it. So they're, he's under pressure right from the word go, is Bob Bradley. He's a good manager. He did very well for the US national team. Since then, he's found, you know, high-level opportunities pretty hard to come by. He's managed Egypt. He's managed in the Norwegian League as well. But he's a student of the game. He loves the Premier League. He said that. He's watched it from afar for many, many years. So I don't think he will be exactly unaware of Arsenal's strength going into this one. But I would say that he's on the back foot from the get-go, because Swansea's fans do feel that the American owners have got their own man in here.
And you look at that head-to-head with Arsene Wenger, obviously one vastly more experienced than the other when it comes to the Premier League. But you've got Bradley coming in, having been at Le Havre, where he's done pretty well, finished off with a win the other week in the second tier of French football, up against Le Professeur himself.
Yeah, look, it's a baptism of fire for Bradley. If he could pick first games in charge, he probably wouldn't have chosen to face Arsene Wenger's Arsenal, especially with the form they're in. I know they weren't at their very best at Burnley, but the team's playing really, really nice football at the moment. So, yeah, it's not the game he wants, but maybe in some respect, it's a freebie for Bob Bradley, because nobody expects Swansea to come to Emirates Stadium and get the 3 points, which they did, of course, get on their last visit. So there's a little bit of payback, isn't there? I've got to say, Swansea have produced some very good performances at Arsenal's ground in recent seasons, pulled off a few excellent results as well. So Arsene Wenger won't be looking at this game, taking it lightly. He will be desperate to get one over on Swansea.
And just mentioning back to Swansea, heading in wider circumstances beyond the manager, just the 4 points, Clarkey, so far this season, only out of the relegation zone on goal difference. It's been a tough period, hasn't it? And no wonder, I guess, Guidolin lost his job, even though, bizarrely, he turned up at Bradley's unveiling media conference, which I don't quite understand.
He did, yeah. That was a strange one, wasn't it? It's been a really poor start to the season for Swansea. They've lost their identity, really. You knew what you would get from Swansea with previous managers. We're not quite sure what their philosophy is at the moment. Defensively, they're struggling. Replacing Ashley Williams was always going to be a massive ask for them, and they've not done that. Same with Andre Ayew in attack. You know, he was their top guy going forward last season, as well as Bafétimbi Gomis, of course. And they've brought in Llorente and Baston. Baston's only had one game. Llorente's only scored one goal. But it feels as if they're just feeling their way into the season, but they can't afford to fall too much further behind. It's been a really weak start to the campaign for them.
So Leroy Fer, I suppose, has been one of their most potent threats. He's got their best conversion rate, hasn't he? In fact, one of the best in the league, actually. Would he be part of your key battleground, or one of them at least?
Yeah, you know me too well. You do. You're reading me.
Leroy, that's why I'm beating you in the prediction competition, Clarkey. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to get onto that.
We will.
Leroy Fer is making good forward runs at the moment. He's timing them excellently. As does Gylfi Sigurdsson as well, of course. So these two guys need to be tracked. So in that respect, I'm going to pit the big head-to-head, really, is the midfield battle between Cazorla and Xhaka and those two, because we know that Xhaka and Cazorla will get on the ball, they'll look forward, they'll make things happen. But what's fascinating is, will they track those runs? Will they communicate with their defenders when those runs come? And I sincerely hope they do. If they do, then, you know, I think Swansea will find it hard to score and Arsenal should win the game. So it's all about the midfield duel for me.
And in a sentence, Adrian, how do you beat Swansea?
You beat Swansea by being efficient, taking your chances, which is something Arsenal didn't do last year. But most importantly of all, you isolate the centre-halves. You get crosses into the box, you feed the ball into the front men, because the two centre-halves, no matter who they are, Amat, Fernandes or Daroon, they are dodgy. And Arsenal should, in theory, destroy them down the centre.
Clarky, thank you for your thoughts on that. And hang on a minute, looking extremely smart, the Arsenal Weekly podcast producer Liam Roberts walks into the studio, smoking jacket on. Liam, looking good. What's the occasion?
It's actually a celebration of someone finally getting a question, a prediction right. So, the Burnley game, I asked you which player would touch the ball the most times. And Russell Hargreaves got it right. It was Santi Cazorla.
Get in.
Yeah, it was a gimme. It was a fix. It was always going to be Cazorla. Although I had Xhaka, and Xhaka got taken off. He got substituted. So I was shouting expletives as I watched that game because they were pretty much neck and neck, Xhaka and Cazorla. But that was an easy one for you, Russ.
So yeah. I presume I have taken a big, healthy lead in the prediction competition.
Indeed, 6-3 to Russell Hargreaves now. Three points for that. So we're going to stay in the same vein this week. We're going to give Adrian a chance to get it back. Swansea game, I want to know which Arsenal player will have the most shots.
Well, hopefully he'll play. So I'm going to have to say Alexis. You've got to pick your striker. Will it include block shots? Because it's very important.
I'm going to go by what Opta say.
Which so is yes, I think.
Total shots, because Alexis tends to have quite a few efforts blocked. I'm going to go with Alexis. Fingers crossed he plays. No, my luck, he'll be rested.
This is worrying, because obviously when you ended up going for someone else because I nicked yours, this is exactly what's happened this time, because I would have had Alexis as well. So, sloppy seconds. I'm going to say... I'm tempted to say Wobi just because he's featured so brilliantly in the podcast and he's in such good form, but no, I'm going to say Theo. I'll go Theo Walcott. Fear is, of course, international break. Will he start? I'll go Walcott, but I'm not confident here.
I would have said a Wobi.
Oh! OK, we'll see. All right, chance for Clarkie to maybe close that yawning three-point gap in our competition. Liam, thank you. Adrian is ever brilliant stuff. Get back to your training ground interviews. And, of course, you can hear all of that and much more on The Breakdown next Monday. Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Alex Iwobi, Josie Henning, James Ollie, and to Adrian Clarke. Don't forget you can subscribe on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review in the process, and you'll never miss another episode. We're also on Acast these days as well. We're back on Monday, the 17th of October, and until then, it's bye for now. And come on, you Gunners.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.